Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Out the new wineskin. And we'll have a look at that in a minute, but I wanted to take us through a little bit of history on the Holy Spirit moves across the land, and I've just alluded to the first one was the day of Pentecost in the upper room. In Acts 2:17, it says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." There's no exclusion there. Sons and daughters, male nor female, slave nor free, everyone now one in Christ, and he's pouring it out on all people. Your sons your young will dream visions and your old will dream dreams. Who's dreaming dreams? Oh, who's dreaming visions? You're the young people, the old people, the young people and the old people. I don't really think it matters. If you're dreaming, great. If you're visioning, great. Because it's what the Holy Spirit is doing across the earth. So if you permit me to paint this picture of the upper room as a wineskin, it was the first wineskin that the Holy Spirit poured out into. I can't, and really, I can't take that wineskin and fit everything that the Holy Spirit's done in the whole planet right now and fit it in there. It would burst. Who knows, the Holy Spirit's done a lot more since the day of Pentecost. You know, and I only just go back 100 years here in some of the things here. Recent times the Holy Spirit's poured out. In 1904, we had the Welsh Revival. And the Welsh Revival was an amazing revival where these tough guys, there's these stories about these tough miners in the mines, and they would they trained the donkeys to turn left and right and stop on swear words. They got saved, Holy Spirit poured out, we can't use those words anymore. Poor donkeys. They had to get rid of those donkeys because who knows, you can't train a donkey new tricks. They had to get new donkeys and train up new donkeys. Holy Ghost left, Holy Ghost right, you know. Thank you, Jesus, for go or whatever they had to say. There was a change. Holy Spirit comes and changes us. And so my first thought this morning, it's time to stretch our thinking. Because Jesus said this in Luke 5, and that's where I am this morning, in Luke 5, verse 33 to 38, and the main one, 38, no, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. New wine must be poured. This is Jesus speaking. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. In fact, let's read all of that. It's good to have light this week. Last week the light went out and I'm completely in the dark. Luke. Not true. I had the glory of God shining through me. Thank you, Peter. Our great encourager. Didn't he do communion well this morning? It was so good. And we're going to hear from Joey in a couple of weeks' time, wherever Joey went to. Oh, okay. Shush. Okay. Luke chapter 5, and let's just start with 33. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go and on eating and drinking. As really as if, what's going on? Jesus was in this transition between, here we see covenantal talk again, between old covenant talk and new covenant talk. We're seeing it already. So the context here, Straight away you can pick up and you can see this is Old Covenant, New Covenant context. And Jesus' answer comes from right from left field and says, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time is coming when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." And we told them, he told them this parable. "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new one will not match the old. And no one will pour new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst, and the skins and the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins." And he says another little thing in a minute, which I might get to. But as you can see here, that new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Over time, like I think of the Welsh Revival, I think of the other ones, like 2 years later was Azusa Street in America with William Seymour. Funnily enough, he was blind in one eye, Willie Seymour. Anyway. But it was interesting revival because this particular revival wasn't on a particular race. It was interracial. It was black and white. It wasn't restricted to any particular class of people. It's a cool little ring, isn't it? But the interesting thing with this period of time is, now think, this is about 111 years ago. There was only 0.1% of people in the world spoke in tongues. It's not many. But today we have over 700 million people that speak in tongues today. That wineskin was the beginning of a huge outbreak of people being led into speaking in tongues. And so there's that, the particular wineskin, were absolutely at that time burst, and a new wineskin formed, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit poured out and people started to speak in tongues. It was stretching their thinking. And if there was any interracial type issues, that was blown out of the water too, because it was everyone got it, male, female, black, white, any colour you like was there. Now I'm thinking not that long ago, back in the 60s and the 70s, the Charismatic Renewal. I was fortunate enough to be in the Charismatic Renewal, and it was a particular wineskin that had been formed. But if I was to take everything that's happened in the Holy Spirit today and try and push it into that wineskin, it would burst. We can't live back there. It was fantastic. Who remembers those times? They were fantastic times. But we can't take that wineskin, old wineskin, and expect to use that today. God is creating this amazing big new wineskin at the moment. And I think it's pretty big, because we're not seeing a lot at the moment. So I think it's big. It's being formed. I think it's being formed. It's huge. I think it's going to take all of the previous wineskins and it's going to plonk it all into one huge big one. It's going to be massive. We've had great words spoken over this country, Australia. I'm believing for a great move of the Holy Spirit. Now, alongside of the charismatic movement was the Jesus movement, like virtually parallel. So it was in the church, but then it was also out in the country. And the Jesus movement, so all the long-haired dudes all started, and the hippie movement, they all started to get saved. They were absolutely radical. When they baptized somebody, it was right in the middle of winter. I've heard a story, right in the middle of winter, right in the middle of a cow paddock, And you know how they have those a bath trough for the horses and the cows to drink from? They'd crack the ice on top, pull the ice off, and dunk you in there. Now that's radical. That's commitment. Powerful. Powerful move of God. But I can't take that wineskin and use it today. It'll burst. Can you see where I'm going? Then there was not that long ago either, 94, the Toronto blessing. Do you remember that? The airport. And then there was Brownsville. Then there was John Wimber. Then there's Rodney Howard Brown. All of these great revival people bringing different forms, different wineskins to the table. We can't use any of those wineskins today. We can, but they'll burst on the next revival that happens. It'll just burst. It'll mess you up completely. So what I'm trying to say this morning, or feel the Holy Spirit saying today, that it's now time to stretch our thinking. It's now time to expand a little bit. What is it in Isaiah 43, 18 to 19? Forget the former things, for I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing right now. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of the new thing. I love new things. I love old things too, but the new things are awesome. I got a new set of golf sticks and they're treating me just fine. Dale, VB, you're on notice. We are believing for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I remember the time when the Holy Spirit poured out on my mum and dad's church in Port Macquarie. It was an Anglican church. How dare the Holy Spirit fall out on the Anglican church? I remember being an altar boy there and I had a lot of fun. You can imagine me as an altar boy, can't you? Yeah, right. And I was in the choir. I was one of the only young boys that could sing High C, High C. Anyway, I've got some stories to tell from that place, but I remember the Holy Spirit pouring out on my mum and dad's church, and it was around that charismatic movement time in the late 70s, and it was an amazing time. I was never the same again from that point on. Probably about another 20 years later, I was in another church in town, Doug Stanton. I don't know whether you've heard of Doug Stanton, but there was a revival that happened in his church, and I happened to be part of that as well. And I was running a youth group of 10, I was going to say kids, but 10 young adults. And it was a nice youth group. Just a nice, cozy youth group. We met on a Friday night, bought pizzas, prayed for each other. Every now and then we'd see a salvation. So we knew God was moving. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit hit in revival, so revival mode's a totally different thing. It hit and I didn't know what to do. I honestly didn't know what to do. People came from everywhere. There was like the church was set in the bush a little bit, but it was backed onto the housing commission area. And a lot of those youth from the housing commission places started to get saved. There was a whole heap of things that happened. Short story, the church was full of these kind of people, and I didn't know how to talk to those kind of people because I'd always been a rather godly little boy. And I was sitting in the front row dressed in my suit, and they were all dressed in the back row sitting in their thongs, jeans, torn shirts, looking really cool, sunnies, barefoot, rat's tails, yeah, rats on shoulders and all sorts of crazy things. Anyway, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, go down and talk to them. What? You want me to go down and talk to him? So I did take my jacket off, so I can sort of relate a little bit. But it was really interesting. I started to chat to these people, and when the Holy Ghost falls on a place, he helps you. He totally, totally helps you relate. If there's no Holy Spirit on what you do, it's just dead. It won't work. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Once you start to move in the Spirit, all of a sudden I started to talk to these young people, and they started to respond. And I go, whoa. It wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. And you must recognize that. You must honor the Holy Spirit in all things that we do. It is not you, you ugly thing. As Rodney Howard Brown would say, you ugly thing. And anyway, I could tell you some stories there too, but I've got to stay on track. So the Holy Spirit turned the church upside down. We went from 10 to about 80 youth on a Friday night. Joey, I honestly still didn't know what to do. And I'm prophesying that that'll happen for you in this place, because your heart is youth. And I just sense once the Holy Spirit starts to sweep through this place, he's going to anoint the words you say. They're going to be just drawn in, like what we just prayed this morning. They're going to be drawn in by the Spirit. Again, it won't be a man thing. I love the sign out on the road. And VB prayed over it this morning that people would see it and come in. I love the sign on the road. But God's going to do far more than just a sign on the road. Yes. Sorry, I didn't hear that. I was somewhere else. So with every outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you need a wineskin to hold the power of God. God really honours what he pours out. He's not just going to pour wine out onto the ground. I've thought about this. Now, I honestly think he's forming a wineskin that he's pouring into. I think it's only ankle deep at the moment. But as Ezekiel 47 talks, it gets to the knees, it gets to the hips, it gets to the shoulders, and then it takes you in. You're baptized into the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you are never the same again. This church will never be the same again. The people that you couldn't love, all of a sudden you start to love. All the people, when you say you couldn't hug, well then you can. Do you know what I mean? Like God just wipes it, all of those insecurities and those things away, and all of a sudden we start to move in the Holy Ghost. And so I think the reason for a wineskin is in order to sustain it. It's got to have a container in order for it to be sustained. I don't want to just have the Holy Spirit just poured out this week, not next week. Then all of a sudden, I need it to be sustained, ongoing every week. And that's what we're believing for in this great worship this morning, guys. Great worship this morning. We could have gone on for a long time. But with every outpouring, the Holy Spirit will burst the previous wineskin. So whatever the previous mindset or wineskin there has been, it gets broken. You only have to look at Martin Luther, which actually happens to be the 500th anniversary this year of him nailing his 95 theses on the Roman Catholic door. And he had a revelation from the Holy Spirit about grace and faith. And guess what? The church was rent in two. It split from the Roman Catholic Church into the, what is it, the New England Church, whatever it is, the Protestant Church. And all of a sudden there was a divide. And the Holy Spirit was doing something here. But often what we'll find is when things like even John Wesley, He had a great revelation of preaching on the fire of the Holy Spirit. It was powerful, and the Methodist Church was birthed from that. But if we look at the Methodist Church today, and I'm not pointing any fingers at the Methodist Church, but it became restricted. It locked in. It was locked in its own wineskin. Was the wine good in there? Yes. Is the wine still good in there? Yes. But God is wanting to do something so much bigger with what the Holy Spirit wants to pour out in the earth. And sometimes things have to be rent in two in order for it to really burst and fill up the wineskin that's being built around us. So Jesus comes along and talks about this new wine and new wineskin. And it's fascinating. There's two words right in the middle of this. New wine is, I think, the word neos, and new wineskin is the word kainos. They're two totally different Greek words. Who knows, our English language is really trying to catch up with English all the time. I was reading a little article yesterday about the apostolic word. The apostolic. We try and work that word apostolic out with our English language, and it just falls way short of what the true intention of what apostolic was about. But that's another topic for another day. Jesus came to do a new thing, not to patch things up, but to do a new thing. The old covenant couldn't stretch any further than that it did, and it needed to burst, and it needed a new covenant. And now grace and mercy and freedom and no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no law. No, we're not under law anymore. And this word, kainos, which is new wineskin. Now, new wine was typical. The new wine, neos, was a word that we were familiar with. It was familiar wine. Anybody had a wine lately? You were familiar with the wine. You knew what the wine tastes like. It wasn't anything that you didn't know. You knew if you bought a Merlot or you bought a Cab Sav, that's what it'd be. That's the word new wine, neos. But the word new wineskin is a totally different word. It's the word kainos, which means recently made, fresh, unused, unknown, a new kind, unprecedented, uncommon, unheard of, innovation, prototype, never seen before. So the new, whenever there's a new wineskin being created, we haven't seen it before. We don't know what it's really like. That's why we can't point to it and go, there's the new wineskin, let's get in it. Because he's forming it right before our eyes. If we're open to the Spirit and we keep worshipping Jesus like we did this morning, all of a sudden we'll start to see it fill up and it'll start to surround us and it'll become part of us. Amen? So this new wineskin is like a prototype of something that we haven't seen before. So I think I've said this before, if you look at a car, if you look at a particular kind of car and you can recognise that car and you can see the badge symbol on it, etc., etc., oh, that's a Mazda, oh, that's a Toyota, oh, that's a whatever. Well, that's new wine. But new wineskin is, what did that just went past? I haven't seen that before. Do you know what I mean? You can't go to the car yard and buy one of those. It's a prototype. It's something that's mind-blowing. It's something outside of you, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit this morning. So this new prototype, this new wineskin, is able to withstand the fermentation, the expansion, the development, the reformation of new wine. We are in a reformation right now across the body of Christ. I'm not saying that anything that's happened so far across the body of Christ is bad at all. I think they're all seasons of growth, seasons of great explosions of different moments. But God's saying, don't stay in that. But that is the experience. That's probably what got you to where you are now. But don't fall back into lethargy thinking, oh, well, I don't see it anymore. Is he really going to ever pour it out again? I mean, that's a question that runs through my mind. Holy Spirit, are you ever going to pour out again? Like back when I was a kid, you know? Like I haven't seen it for 30 years. And I'm thinking, oh, man, come on, Holy Spirit. But I can feel a stirring. I can feel a wineskin being created in the Spirit right now. There's a wineskin here. This building is a wineskin. And as we come in and we worship God, Holy Spirit fills it. We should expect the current wineskin to rip. We should expect it to rip. If we're going to get expansion, if we're going to see the new thing, we've got to expect that it's going to rip a little bit. It's going to shake up the church. It's going to shake up the leaders. It's going to shake up the structure. It's going to shake up the establishments. Things that man has built. We're not supposed to camp around those things. We're supposed to be in the spirit of freedom and flowing. So that's our biggest challenge as leaders is freedom. How do we manage freedom without law? How do I put a fence around freedom? I can't. You just have to trust God that he's going to move. And if it's a move of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's a reformation. Reformation. There's a reforming on the inside. There's a reforming of our mindsets. There's a reforming of our hearts. There's a reforming of the former things. I'm doing a new thing now. I think one of the great things that's happening and forming right now across the body of Christ, I'd like to suggest, is the reformation of the fivefold ministry. Where the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and the teacher, thank you everyone, is brought back to its fullest intention. There's been a long times now running where the apostle and the prophet have been pushed aside because they're too full on, and they're too leadershipy, and there's not enough care, and so we've ended up. The church has gone back into here and gone with pastor and administrator, and they feel more comfortable and fed, and that's nice. But that'll form a little wineskin of its own. But I think the reformation right now is a reestablishment of the apostle and the prophet, not as a hierarchy, not as a, because there was a time across the body of Christ, and I was part of it. I think maybe Tippin, you might have been part of something like a barrage of feeling of condemnation. Well, why weren't you in church on Sunday? And all of that sort of stuff. And so that, I believe right now, Jesus showed a fantastic model of what an apostle looks like. And he did it just before he went to the cross the washing of the disciples' feet. And in the washing of the disciples' feet, Jesus showed humility. He got down on his knees and he washed their feet. It was the lowest position. And I believe that is the greatest picture of an apostle leading through servitude, through humility, still leading, because you've got to understand these the fivefold in Ephesians 4, the fivefold are gifts to the church. They are a gift. So if you had a present and I gave you a present, here is an evangelist. He's a gift to the church. They are gifts, not positions, gifts. Really interesting. Because, and then when the gift is recognized, there's an anointing that comes on it, on that gift. And when the anointing comes on, all of a sudden that person's not who they are, but then all of a sudden that affects the whole body of Christ. They're not in themselves anymore. They're operating out of the gift that God has given and placed for the body. So I'm believing that a reformation, the beginning of the reformation, is the re-establishment of fivefold in its correct placement. So I'm not saying that any one of those gifts, pastor or teacher, is any lower than anything else. So it's not a hierarchy position thing. If anything, it's actually a lower position. In fact, if you're going to lead, you've got more feet to wash. You've got more feet to serve. So I don't take this lightly, because I've got to wash your feet. Woo-hoo! Oh,
I got some feet to wash.
Oh, thanks, mate. You've actually come prepared. Last week you really came prepared. You didn't have shoes at all. You were tired. I think you're tired this week too, aren't you? But it's all good. There needs to be a refreshing going on, a re-establishment of, I think, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through to 13. And we might talk a bit more about that over time, but I'm just really believing that we will get this mix right. The apostolic and prophetic did not die out at the first century church, because it was just to establish the church. No, they are needed right now in order to build the larger thing. The pastor mindset is us four and no more, because I just want to care for you. I just want to care for you and love you, and that's fantastic, and we need it. Don't hear me wrong. In fact, we need it here in this church more than anything. But without the apostolic and the prophetic, we'll never take ground, we'll never move, we'll never advance across the body of Christ. That makes sense? Yeah. Am I making that clear? I might expand on that further another day. My last point this morning that I felt the Holy Spirit say to me is there's no problem with the wine. There's no problem with the wine. Wine is being poured out constantly. It just needs a vessel for it to be poured into. And there's this fantastic little story in 2 Kings, and I want to read it to you this morning. 2 Kings, chapter 4, and we'll finish with this. It's about the widow's oil. Oil is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. So 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." So the life source left was taken from the family, and they were coming for her and her two children. And Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." I love this picture. All I have is just a little bit of oil. And if you feel like there's just a little bit of oil, that's all you need. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few." I love that. It depends on your personality type. But I know if my mum went and asked neighbours for jars, she would take two or three cars. She'd ask for my truck, trailer, and your car as well to pick up as many jars as she possibly could. If I wanted to get a jar at my mum's house, I could do that very easily. I could open any cupboard and find an empty jar and a full one. But it's just interesting that there's no limit here on the jars. Point. Verse 4. "Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars." Remember, she only had a little bit of oil. So this is a faith step. She's pulled it out of the cupboard, this tiny little bit of oil, which would have been olive oil. And I watched this little YouTube-y thing last night on how you make olive oil. It's actually fascinating. There's all different ways of making it, but it's squeezed, it's pressed. There's a lot of work involved in getting olive oil. You just don't pick it up. So there was this tiny, would have been expensive, was hard to make, and there was this little bit of oil. "Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, pour it into the other one," into the next one. "And she left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring." Wow. There is no limit on the wine. There's no limit on the oil. We're the only ones that put a limit on it with the jars. It wouldn't have mattered if there was a million jars. He would have filled a million jars. She kept pouring and pouring and pouring. I just love that picture. "And when all the jars were full, she said to her sons, 'Bring me another one.'" So it's saying, "I could have done more. I could have done more." "But she replied, 'There is none left.' Then the oil stopped flowing." She went and told the man of God, said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." All I know is that there's a value on the Holy Spirit being poured out. And God meets every need. I remember in those times of revival, we were at numerous meetings through the week, and we should have been tired, but we weren't. We should have been worn out, but we weren't. We couldn't wait to get to the next meeting to see what God would do. We'd never seen it before. And it was like, oh, man, I remember we had this one guy. He was what's called a holy roller. And he was the most sad sack person. But when the Holy Spirit hit him, he fell on the floor laughing his head off. And he got so full, he would start to roll from this side to this side. He'd bounce against the wall and he'd come up and he'd hit somebody. He'd roll into somebody and they would get it too. That was powerful. That's an old wineskin. Oh, I want to see that again. It's an old wineskin. Like, it's like anything will do, God. You know, it's like we get into that desperation stage. But the Holy Spirit is really wanting to do something fresh and new. Don't look at those things as being, well, when I see that again, the Holy Spirit's moving. Maybe. Could be the flesh too. Could be a memory. Well, if I roll up against the wall and I roll this way and that way, the Holy Spirit will fill me up again. Do you know what I mean? We do that. If I get prayed for and I fall over, well, then the Holy Spirit's on me again. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm stretching your thinking this morning. I'm deliberately throwing some things at you and stretching us a little bit. But I do know that God is doing something right now across the earth. If you're spiritual ears are open a little bit, you'll hear it. It's trickling here, it's trickling there. It's actually happening across the earth now. I'm excited by that. And I just feel like on this Pentecost Sunday, to encourage us as a church to remain open, be that jar where the Holy Spirit can fill you again and fill you afresh again. Remember, it's not a problem with the wine. It's just the lack of jars. I trust that you're an empty jar waiting to be filled. You're full, but in a sense, holding my cup ready for overflow of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, we're not going to really know what hit us. That's the scary little bit. But that's okay, isn't it? Isn't that why we're a Pentecostal church? Or have we gone back into a wineskin, an old wineskin? Or are we prepared for that wineskin to be ripped apart in one sense and encompassed by a larger wineskin that God's doing, creating right now in the earth? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your church and for what you're forming in this place. Lord, I pray the words that I've spoken this morning might encourage us to not to be fearful, but to be expectant of greater things. That God, you would fill us afresh even this day. Fill us afresh even more this day. God, you're amazing. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just come afresh right now. Fill us afresh right now. I don't know what you do, and I don't want to get into some sort of model, but I from time to time, will just put my hands out to receive. Whatever you need to do yourself to receive right now, just turn your receiver on. I don't know what that is for you. Could be stand, sit, lie down, whatever. Put your hands out, or whatever it is, just receive right now. The Holy Spirit is here. And he's pouring new wine right now. Wine that we haven't seen before. Wine that we probably don't understand. Wine that will transform and change us completely. And say in your heart, God, I want this. I want your new wine. Fill me to the top. Fill me to overflow. Today, and Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill this wineskin, this church, this wineskin, with every week that we come, every time we meet in this place, every time one of us would speak. Holy Spirit, you would move. I thank you, God, for the prayer, for the worship, for the communion, for the giving, for the greeting at the front, for whatever we would do, the eating at the back. That Holy Spirit, you would just encompass us and move. God, we want to see revival again. Revive us again. It's our heart's desire. Freshness of the Holy Spirit again. Just receive now. Just receive. There's no limit on the wine. And if your jar's full, get another one. And if it fills, get another one again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh again. Get us into overflow this morning, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just going to take just 2 more minutes. Just 2 minutes. Of just receiving this morning. Often we just end it and go. But would you leave your receiver on for 2 more minutes? And however you would receive, get in that position to receive. Holy Spirit wants to pour it out. He needs to pour it out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you're meeting people's needs right now, filling them afresh. I'm actually watching the levels go up on people right now, the levels of Holy Spirit filling them up right now. Why come to church empty and go empty too? I say, be filled. Be filled like a little child. Be filled this morning. Just be filled. That's it. Just receive. Just receive this morning. Holy Spirit just doing a new thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Freshness. Fresh move of the Holy Spirit. Fresh move of the Holy Spirit. Fresh move of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is touching us afresh again. Would you remain open and be filled with the Holy Spirit and power? Make it your life's mission. It's what started the church. It's what will end the church too. In the end. 2 minutes seems like an eternity, doesn't it? When the Holy Spirit comes, 2 minutes is really nothing. 2 hours becomes nothing. Time is no issue. Thank you, Lord. Well, God bless you, church. It's good to see you again. I hope you've been encouraged today as we move towards greater things. And have a cup of tea and some fellowship with us, and we'll see you again soon. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.